Welcome to Studio Sessions, the big red and shiny podcast where we talk with artists about the ideas, inspiration, and processes that go into their work. I'm your host, Matt Kuhlman, and my guest this episode is Melissa Murray. Melissa earned her BFA from the State University of New York Purchase College in 2006. Her mixed media works often place wildlife and environments in places familiar to her in order to further investigate how she feels about that location. One of her more recent series focuses on a Cape Cod summer home that has been in her family for decades, which she often visits. Join me as Melissa describes the places that inspire her work and the decisions she makes in choosing how to depict them. Hi, Melissa. Thanks for being here today. Yep, so we're here to talk about some of your work, and I looked through some of your online portfolio, and it's got like an interesting mixture of like kind of wildlife and abstract patterns and different things going on. I guess if someone were to ask you what your work is about quickly, like how would you respond to that?
I think my quick response would be that it's stream of conscious, very abstract thought. Mm-hmm. Base drawing and painting.
But it produces some pretty realistic forms in there too as well.
Yeah, it's based largely on memory and abstract memory, so a lot of just random images come up. I feel that my brain kind of works more in images than in words or anything, so I just try to pull from random images of memory and then kind of reconstruct them.
It's all straight from your head.
You dig through
source material to...
Yeah, just as far as a reference. I mean, I kind of start with maybe one idea in the drawing, and then, you know, it all kind of comes up through there. Mm-hmm. I don't really start out with a mission in a drawing.
Yeah.
It usually takes me actually a little while to figure out the meaning of it.
So it's very Freudian, I guess.
Yeah,
to figure out your own thought process
exactly.
by making these things.
Exactly. That's actually exactly what it is, trying to figure out my own thoughts. So. Yeah.
And you say they're from your memories. I noticed there's a lot of like interior scenes and things. Are those all places that you lived or
worked
in?
This new series that I am still working on called An Emptiness, a lot of the imagery in this body of work has to do with a specific house on Cape Cod that's in my family.
Okay.
It's close to 300 years old. It's falling apart. It's this really spooky old place.
Have you been there recently?
Yeah, I go a lot, actually.
Yeah. What's it like? Is it like a multi-story?
It's like a traditional manor. Cape house that throughout the years people have added little pieces to. So it's kind of this like...
Yeah, it's got the multi-century patchwork thing going on.
Yeah, it's really neat, but it really needs a lot of work. And I guess it was originally supposed to be a summer house, so it has this... the elements are always inside as well. There's no insulation. But it's mostly, you know, a place that time seemed to have forgot. And it has a lot of old elements and a lot of sources in the house lend well to metaphors of... life.
Yeah. Is it haunted?
Very haunted. Very haunted. It's actually, I've had friends come and stay and not be able to stay over. So, it's a big source of my work, and I really like the whole, been inspired by New England, like this coldness and saltiness and harshness of...
That's a good way of describing New England, I think. Yeah. I live right there by Salem and stuff, so it's the haunting capital of the world or whatever.
Yeah, there's something so undescribable about it that, you know, it has its whole touristy qualities and the beaches. But
that's mostly what I see there because I work at the Hawthorne Hotel there. And it's like, they really benefit from that. I don't know that they necessarily intentionally play off of that. It's just being in Salem, they have that reputation.
Oh, right.
So.
Salem, of course.
But it is very salty and cold
salty
in that whole
cold.
Area too.
Yeah, even in the summertime, there's something very harsh about it. And I like that, and I like bringing that sort of an element into it. And it's interesting, animals for a long time have, and they're still in my work quite a bit, but they were kind of my vehicle for metaphors, and now I'm kind of feeling this architecture and this poem is becoming more of my vehicle lately. So.
What's your kind of experience being in that house? What do you typically do there, or like?
There's you know, basic electricity. There's nothing. I mean, there's water and basic electricity. There's no, you know, not even a radio, to be honest. So my husband and I, we do art there.
Or I guess like as a source of inspiration, like what do you find interesting about in particular?
I think the age of the house, looking through the windows, is also, you know, the antique glass, and it's kind of, is this weird filter to the outside world, and just the generations that have passed there, and still having elements that are 300 years old and in the modern world, and it's just really, it's like a time warp going there.
Yeah. Do you have some examples of the pieces that you're working on right now?
Oh yeah, of course.
You could look at.
So this is my most recent one, and this is a shot of the house. And I'm noticing in my work, the women in my family always made quilts and were very, you know, old craft style in that way. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding this kind of this personal narrative coming up in my work, and an imagery that's very like, you know, cross stitch or quilts. And
okay, so there's kind of like that border there. Words at the top that look like they're
cross stitched. And I like the contrast with it. On the top it says, "They are yours, they are lost." And it's kind of creepy, as is the house. And as is, I like to create something that I feel is beautiful along with something that contrasts with it, with a more negative vibe as well. And this is another piece of the house. And there's a lot of nature inside of the house that ends up breaking in. Bones and feathers and weird things always turn up the next season.
Yeah, so, like birds get down through the chimney or something.
I've
been in old houses where there was a fireplace in every room in like 8 rooms of the house. It was like kind of built around the 2 chimneys, and there were covers on there, so like birds would get in but they couldn't get out, and then you'd like take the covers off and there's like bird skeletons.
It's really weird. And raccoons and foxes. Actually, the last time we went, there was a baby fox foot in the middle of the floor. It was very bizarre.
Weird.
Yeah, so I think this is kind of inspired by that too.
Yeah, it's kind of a, see, what you have is like a scene of the house that's kind of like very geometrically like perspective drawn, but then off to the side you have this kind of like jumble of bird feathers and,
and
skeleton and this kind of abstract stripe pattern behind it.
Yeah, there's a lot of textiles in the house too, which I'm trying to pull from too, and just kind of trying to recreate the scenes, you know, with rugs and tiles and all sorts of textiles. This one is a good example of that, of couches and rugs and I don't think that they lend so well in the metaphor necessarily, but more so in creating a scene. They help as a catalyst to the to the whatever it is I'm trying to say that I'll figure out at the later point.
Yeah. So like in this particular piece, with the couch that we're looking at, how do like the horses work their way in there? Do you kind of see them in the structure that's already there, or?
Well, I just kind of was feeling a very chaotic moment in using this room almost as a stage and having the chaos of horses running in a living room while the walls and the windows are all bricked off. Mm-hmm. I wanted to convey a chaos, but also like a beauty through texture, and I guess I go back and forth with that a lot.
Yeah, I think you have both those in the horses, where one is kind of patterned in the background and static, and the other one's running at you, like really digging into the earth there.
I mean, it's all like a dream to me. Like, I'm very into dreams, and not even necessarily recreating what I dream about. But the way a dream acts and how things can move and how things react in a space where anything's possible. But in the end, I believe, you know, the dreams are supposed to help you figure out your daily life, your reality. So I think that they work very similar, the drawings, for me.
Are there many portions of your pieces that are drawn directly from dreams, or do you just kind of like they're there and you think about
them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, directly related.
Well, I write a lot of dreams down, and it's funny when I find when I write them down, they're very concrete to me. And if I don't, then I kind of forget them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's parts that I still remember. I think I try to figure out what the dream interpretation is and try to interpret that into a drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And
one thing I did notice about these pieces, too, is there's a lot of the kind of painting inside a painting effect where you're drawing an interior that's got paintings hanging there.
Yeah.
Are those actual paintings of the pieces that are up on the house?
Or yes. Okay. In this one, these are actually rugs from Egypt that my husband got when he was younger.
Okay.
And I just like the primitiveness of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the history and is a big part of his life, and he's a big part of my life, so it's this history that's around us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Egypt and
I was wondering if that might be like the next level of subconscious like imagery that you were like making a drawing within the drawing, kind of like the next
level. It's funny, when I started this series, I was actually thinking about, instead of actually using imagery from the house, using like a hyper-realistic image of a wall and doing drawings on that. So that was something that was in my realm of consciousness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what are some other pieces in the series that you got here?
We have this one, which is also the house again.
Mm-hmm.
So
in this one, you have a lion in front of the house that's eating like a water buffalo or something.
Yeah.
It's kind of a primal image.
I'm not quite sure. I'm still kind of chewing this one. It's called My Heart in Your Throat, and it's something about love and lost and and so much bigger than you or I, and just the grand scheme of relationships with people or with anything, just in a bigger scheme. And having relationships and losing relationships, or people passing away, or I like animals in their primal sense. I like using their characteristics as just as a vehicle to explore a specific emotion.
That one also has kind of an interior exterior thing going on, where there's like a portion of the interior that's drawn outside of the actual frame of the house, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
there's a little more just play with space than some of the
This one, I liked this black liquid inside. It was like a fullness and a just an uneasy, like an uneasy stomach feeling almost. And then the darkness in the house, and this one's kind of creepy to me, and I mean they're all kind of creepy. And going back to the animals and why I would use a specific animal. This one is called Your Last Breath, and it is a lot about death. And there was a point recently, all this work is from 2012, where I lost a couple friends. And there's just this primal scream of a bear that's silent, like a still image of a scream in a way, and just being like a last primal scream. That one. And this one is actually the first one I started in the house, and it kind of catapulted everything into this direction.
That you were doing before this time then? Were they pretty similar still?
Yeah, my last series is called What the Bird Saw. And these actually are more drawn from dreams more literally.
Okay, things so that were accurate like illustrations of what you're
doing. trying to figure that out. And they're much more with animals, and I feel like they're much more simple in a way. and they're mostly drawing. There's no painting in them.
Mm.
And I'm trained as a painter, and I really miss painting. So I feel like in my new work, well, in my new work, I am using a lot more painting techniques, which I'm very happy with. These are more narratives.
Yeah, what are some of these scenes that we've got here? There was like a pack of wolves that were...
Yeah, this...
Are they eating something there?
Yeah, they're eating each other. They're attacking each other. Yeah, there's like a city scene and the holes, and I did this one when I first moved into this house in this neighborhood, and it's kind of a hard neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's, maybe it's about, like the struggle that young people have growing up in this neighborhood and having to be this macho vibe in order to survive. So, this piece is definitely influenced by my surroundings.
Yeah, just walking around on my way here, I was looking for like a cafe or something to hang out at, and I didn't find one, but it took a while as opposed to like Williamsburg or something.
Oh yeah,
you could just walk around the corner and find a dozen things.
But it's also so inspiring here because I really love our neighbors and the people that live here, and it's not overrun with anonymous faces. You actually know your neighbors, and and it's hard. And people that have lived here for a long time have had a lot of struggle, and it's just a It's interesting. It's very interesting being here.
Mm.
And going on almost 10 years of being in this area.
Wow,
so,
that's a while.
Yeah, it definitely affects my work greatly, especially in this last series. I think I've internalized a lot more in this new series and kind of hermited in. And yeah, these are more...
Yeah, this neighborhood definitely doesn't seem like the typical anonymous New York where when I'm met you out front, somebody was across the street like, hey, Melissa, do that thing for you. Like, okay.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
he,
I haven't really seen that like anywhere in New York
It's
ever.
Wonderful. He needed to write, he wanted to start a petition because his mother lives in the nursing home down the street, and he wanted me to write him up something that would help them because they weren't allowing them to use the domino room or something. So there's this really good sense of community here. And it's really inspiring to me. It's hard, and that's maybe my whole life has been difficult, so it's familiar or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, these, it's hard to recall exactly the dreams that they were, but they've become an image to me that speaks for whatever the dream was. Sleeping while waking, dreaming in death. I was trying to recreate a dream.
Mm-hmm.
This is another one. This one's called Hood.
Yeah.
And, it has the bodega and the birds getting the food and the fish getting the food. And that obviously speaks to an intense environment, such as this Bushwick neighborhood.
And so you're talking about how this area has affected your work. Where were you living before? This neighborhood or New York in general?
Yeah, I grew up in New York. I grew up upstate a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Bounced around, lived in Massachusetts for a while. And I've settled down. We've been living here in this house for about 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought this house 5 years ago. And it's really inspired my work because we built this house. We built it. We tore it down and we rebuilt it.
Nice.
And it's funny... how that construction process has gotten into my work too, which is why I think I'm inspired by this house on the Cape, which we're also working on. So construction is actually a big part of my daily life. And coming to love a home that's my own home, or the act of actually making a home is like settling your feet in somewhere is an inspiring thing for me. It's a new thing, I guess.
And so do you have some other series of work that you wanted to talk about available here?
Well, these are the ones that I'm really interested in. I did this small series called 8 Minutes that are just, it was a long drawing I cut up, and this was a total stream of conscious drawing. And it's all connected and...
Okay, so it's like a really panoramic...
Yeah.
Multi-panel piece.
Yeah, I just let myself do whatever I wanted to do, which without really thinking much about it. You know, the only research, as I was saying, is looking for images and things. And once I had the idea in my head.
And so this would be a even earlier work than the series we just looked at.
This is in between.
In between?
Yeah, this was a specific project I was working on. Okay. In between. And, yeah. And I'm still in the process of working on this one, on An Emptiness. I was lucky enough to be involved in the Brooklyn-Montreal swap. And I have these pieces in Montreal at the moment. And they'll be coming here in January for a solo show.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'll be able to add a few more pieces into that. So this is an evolving series. I'm not sure when to cap it off.
So you're kind of describing how you just kind of subconsciously build these images over time, but what exactly is the process of creating like an individual composition? Do you just like work on the same piece of paper from scratch and build it out, or is there a lot of pre-planned sketching?
Well, it's interesting. More and more I'm doing sketching. And I know I never keep a sketchbook. I'm just not interested in that. I can never bring myself to have a sketchbook, or to, you know, write, jot down ideas, or I pretty much just have a piece of paper and I just kind of jump into it. I have a hard time working on more than one thing at a time.
So typically you just have like a piece of paper that you return to consistently.
Yeah, until then.
Keep developing it until you find the forms in there, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. In this new one that I'm working on, it's the house again, but it was a particular picture of a window that had a lot of reflection in it. And that kind of is the focus, and then it just spreads from there. So I'm a lot more abstract things are happening in my work, which is new, but I really like, because I've always loved, you know, drippy, messy, scribbly, abstract work.
Yeah, that was one thing I noticed, is that parts of it are really kind of open and free and looks like very spontaneously done, and then others are very meticulously drawn. So I was kind of wondering like how planned out some of that was, or how spontaneous it was.
It's funny, it becomes more of a form of meditation for me if I'm focusing on something so intensely, like my dog. If I'm focusing on something so intensely, it becomes tiresome, not in a bad way, but it is kind of, I kind of have to switch gears, and I enjoy it. I enjoy switching to a more meditative sense. And, but I like going back and forth, and I like the visual contrast of that too. I feel like it's nice to be able to focus on something so complex and then have room for your eyes to just kind of fade out and then come back in. And I mean, much like a dream too. It's much like a dream as well.
And one thing I find interesting about people who do this kind of subconscious interpretive work is trying to find out like if what they've learned from the process, if anything, like, or any conclusions you may have come to about
about life,
yourself, your life, existence.
It's funny, it's become more of a form of communication to myself doing this work. It's how I can figure out things.
I suppose from the beginning to end of projects, like if you arrived at any conclusions or
major life conclusions.
Yeah.
Well, nothing that I can really pinpoint in. It just makes me feel better. It just makes me feel completed that I've worked something out in a deeper level that I feel okay to move on from. There are definitely a lot. I mean, they're inspired a lot by trauma, like past trauma or just intense emotions, either good or bad. But they usually end up being more intense in a bad way than painting pictures about things that are intensely good. Like a dream as well, you know, if you have a really good dream and you kind of feel like you work some stuff out. I feel like that's how my work reacts for me. And if I'm out of the studio, if I'm really busy, if I'm taking a little break for like even a couple weeks, like I get really pent up and gotta figure some stuff out. So yeah.
Is working through things visually like this something that you've always done? Like,
yeah.
Or was there a specific transition point where you're like, I want to be an artist?
Never. Yeah. Ever since I was a kid, I mean, such a cliche thing to say, but ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to be an artist or was an artist and always doing art as a kid. So I have stacks and stacks of drawings that I've done.
You still have a portfolio of your child work.
I do. I guess it's, you know, been like a coping thing. Maybe not that dramatic, but it's, you know, you learn to do things, and that's something I've learned to do throughout my life. So.
And so, looking forward at projects that you might be working on, how do you see, like, new themes that you're talking about, such as, like, construction? And, see things playing out in the future, evolving?
Well, I'm not quite sure. It always is kind of a surprise, even the next piece for me. I'm really enjoying the painting aspects of everything. I want to get more into painting. I don't think I want to move away from paper, but perhaps, you know, painting in the medium itself will lend a new project or something. Maybe maybe more abstract, maybe less... I don't think I will ever lose the trying to do hyper-realistic stuff, attempting to do it, but... Yeah, I see myself working on this project with the house for quite some time. So,
I suppose becoming interested in such like a three-dimensional way of working, do you ever consider like moving out of a two-dimensional artistic style and creating environments or objects?
Yeah, it's very interesting you say that, because I am working on this project with a friend of mine who I brought to this house, and she's a painter as well, and we've been compiling this... we're starting to... compile this group show that we're going to do, and we talk a lot about bringing elements from the house and creating this environment, even if it's just like an old couch or some textiles or old windows or old glass and things. That might be something I'd get into, and that would be really intense to make it physical rather than on paper.
We could do like full installations, construct a room, maybe.
Yeah, that would be intense. Might have a meltdown.
Physically manifest a dream and then walk into it. It'd be a lot of work. But
that would.
It could be worth it.
It might be awesome. It might happen. You might have just sprung something.
Yeah.
So.
And just like, where do you tend to see your work in relation to like other artists? Are there like other people that kind of work similarly to you that you pay attention to or draw off of? Or?
Well, not so much. I mean, lately I've been really into, like I was saying, this whole New England vibe, and I've been really into Andrew Wyeth and his, you know, his watercolors, and trying to kind of vibe off of that feeling, because there's some way that he got that harsh saltiness in in his paintings. But I mean, I look at a lot of, you know, older work, and I'm inspired by a lot of contemporary work, but I wouldn't say that it necessarily is a direct inspiration. Off the top of my head, I'm sure that it exists.
That sounds good. Thanks for meeting with me today.
Thank you for having
me. We'll see you around in the future.
Okay.
And that concludes this episode of Studio Sessions with our guest Melissa Murray. You can find her work online at melissamurraynyc.com. You can also learn more about me at my website, mattcoolman.com. If you'd like to support this program, you can send a donation through PayPal to studiosessionspodcast@gmail.com. Even if you only send $1, your donation helps guarantee I can continue providing interviews with artists for your listening pleasure. And of course, don't forget to visit bigredandshiny.com for future episodes along with other arts and culture content. Thank you for listening, and see you next time on Studio Sessions.